You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams sitting in for Steve Ryman. Steve's always very gracious to let me do this when I have time to do it, and it's fun to share that responsibility with him. He, of course, is behind the scenes doing all kinds of amazing things, and so we very much appreciate our friend Steve Ryman. Today I'm joined in studio by Dr. Joseph Holden, Dr. Stephen Collins, and Dr. Brian Nixon. We're talking about Veritas International University, and they are expanding their footprint in New Mexico, and we hope as a result around the world as well. Welcome to ABQ Connect, gentlemen.
Thanks,
good
Jim.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Hey, let me tell you about these gentlemen in the studio with me. Dr. Holden is the president of Veritas International University, VIU. It's a accredited, which very important to remember that, accredited nonprofit 501c3 corporation, has its own board of directors, and it doesn't have a direct affiliation with any certain church organization, denomination, or other institution. Dr. Collins, of course, has been on our show a number of times. He's the director of archaeology and biblical history PhD program with Veritas International University School of Archaeology. He's also the chief archaeologist at Tal al-Hammam excavation project in Jordan, the site of the historic Sodom in the Jordan Valley. Dr. Brian Nixon also has been on the show quite a bit, as you know. He serves as the chief academic officer for VIU. He's also an author, journalist, musician, artist, and pastor. And are you cleaning houses now?
I started that last week as well, Jim.
And all around snappy dresser.
Yeah, yeah. And all around snappy dresser.
Artistic to boot.
I love that. It's just fantastic. I mean, the personalities that are in this room are just absolutely amazing. And I very much appreciate you all spending the time. Dr. Holden, welcome to Albuquerque. VIU has an active campus, or has had an active campus in Albuquerque for a long time. Please tell us about your plans to expand.
Well, Jim, first of all, thanks for having me on the program today. And we are excited about expanding into Albuquerque because since 2018, we have had an archaeology and biblical studies, a biblical history department headed up by Dr. Stephen Collins. And we are just thrilled and our main campus, though Dr. Collins and our archaeology and biblical history program is here in Albuquerque, our main campus was based in Santa Ana. Mm. Now we have the opportunity to blend the two campuses together, to make the move here to Albuquerque. We're looking so forward to it. And as we speak, we're waiting for the truck to deliver the furniture, the computers, all the equipment for us to set up right here in Albuquerque. So we're really looking forward to it. It's a beautiful state with great people and a rich spiritual heritage.
We should note for people that are listening, obviously this is not an international radio program, although there are people listening at klyt.fm, and they may be anywhere in the world to do that. But primarily our audience is New Mexicans. We go throughout the state of New Mexico and largely a Christian audience. So there may be people listening that are thinking, you know, my daughter or my sister or aunt or uncle might be interested in Veritas, and they don't live in Albuquerque, and there's nothing holding them back from that, is there?
There's nothing holding them back. Thank God for new technology, and our distance learning program is thriving. It's expanding. We have students all over the world, and we're thrilled to see them develop wherever they are. They can change their culture wherever they are. They can learn, earn their degrees, and learn any particular subject they would like that we offer. And it's all at their fingertips with a click of a mouse.
Talk to us about the degree programs you offer.
Well, at Veritas, we have three distinct schools. We have the seminary, which deals with the biblical studies and the theological studies and so forth, and church ministry, pastoral studies. And then we have the school of—
And that also has undergraduate.
Yes.
Within that program.
Yes,
okay.
We have a BA in that undergraduate program. And then we have the School of Archaeology, which is, again, headed up by Dr. Stephen Collins. And that deals with our archaeology and biblical history program. And then we have also our School of Apologetics, which deals with defending the faith, with the philosophy of religion, preparing people to give an answer for the hope that lies within them, yet with gentleness and respect. So we have degree programs that range from bachelor's degree all the way through PhD. We have two PhD programs, one in archaeology, the other in philosophy of religion, and we have half a dozen master's program, Master of Divinity, and MA, and all sorts of programs. And for those who want a professional degree, we have a Doctor of Ministry. You can choose your major there, which is quite flexible, and also a Doctor of Ministry in apologetics as well. So we have the whole gamut. Whatever particular thing that God has called you to minister in, to serve in, we can prepare you for that.
And you have international students now.
Absolutely. All the way in China. We have Pakistan, a graduate just graduated from Pakistan. He's planting a church in Pakistan. And the underground church is being equipped indirectly through Veritas because of our students that are there taking. We have to go through special channels to dialogue with those students there. But it is fantastic. And all over the United States and Europe as well.
Dr. Collins, we've had you on the show a number of times talking about primarily the dig at Tal al-Hammam. You had your 15th season? 16th season this past. And I want to start right away by talking about, before we get into Tal al-Hammam and some of the other things, and I'm sure that's going to play into the apologetics department and all kinds of different things. You have a symposium coming up in Albuquerque. It is September 23rd. It's the VIU Symposium on Archaeology and the Bible coming up the 23rd at the Albuquerque, is it the Sheraton Hotel?
Yes, Uptown Sheraton.
And that is right, like, if you're familiar with Albuquerque, you know where Coronado Center is. And it's on, like, the northeast corner of Manal and Louisiana.
Yep.
And so, now, you did tell me something the other day that was kind of good news, but maybe not great news for late registrars, that the rooms at the Sheraton are taken up.
Yeah, we sold out our room block.
But it's possible they might still
get in. You can still get in the conference.
Okay.
You can still get in the hotel. But the price right now is a little tiny bit higher than it was for our room block. But that's okay. And especially if you're local, you're good. I mean, you can go home at night.
All three of you gentlemen, and I've just met Joe. Talked to Joe a little bit yesterday, but you all really fascinate me because you're all Christians and you're in this work because you want the gospel of Jesus Christ shared around the world. But you also all stand on your academics, your science, and you don't flinch at anyone in the secular world that questions any of those things because you do it right. Dr. Collins, you have a symposium coming up that's not about Christian. I always find it interesting. I had somebody ask me one time when I was in the banking business, can you tell me about a Christian mortgage company? I said, well, there's really no such thing as a Christian mortgage company. There's mortgage companies that employ Christians. And that analogy, I think, is kind of similar to what you do. You're a Christian who's an archaeologist, yeah. But there's not really Christian archaeology. There's archaeology.
That's right. Yeah, there is archaeology that intersects with the Bible. We call that biblical archaeology, but it wouldn't be scientifically legit to go out and just do archaeology for the sake of the Bible, because you would be excavating through all kinds of layers of history that have nothing to do with the Bible particularly. So you really have to approach everything scientifically. You have to document everything. You have to approach everything like that. And I would say this about the symposium coming up. We have over a dozen of the top, and I mean top, there's nobody above these guys, the top archaeologists on the planet who intersect with the Bible in their archaeology. I just, we have one special feature. I just interviewed on Saturday Israel Finkelstein, who many people consider as the world's leading archaeologist in terms of Israel's history. And, of course, if you ask him if he's the world's leading expert in Israel's history, he'd probably tell you that. And he would be considered by many people kind of my nemesis.
Mm.
And, you know, the classic minimalist. And the guy that we all like to hate in terms of, of being a Bible hater. Well, it was really interesting interview because he's not a Bible hater. In fact, he really doesn't like being called a minimalist at all. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to approach the Bible or the subject of Israel's origins from the point of view of archaeology and see if he came up with a different answer than what the Bible gives us. and which is a legitimate thing to do. I mean, what would it look like? If the Bible didn't exist, what could we tell from the archaeological record about the history of Israel and Judah?
Yes.
And so he's done that. And so I've never considered Israel an enemy of any kind. He's a colleague. Do we have different views? Yes. Am I right on everything and he's wrong on everything he doesn't agree with me about? Yes. No, just kidding. Yeah. But in fact, he told me, there are a few of your questions I didn't agree on, you know, didn't totally agree. And I emailed him back. I said, well, you know, if you and I agreed on everything, we'd both be right. And how boring would that be?
So, well, I love the conversation because there's people that are listening to the show right now that are unbelievers or they have a lot of questions. And this discussion, this conversation, would you all three say that you can trust the truth of God's word and not worry about the conversation?
Yes, absolutely.
Unquestionably.
And that's what I want people to just engage in. We don't need to be afraid of our faith. We need to just stand on it, share the truth. Again, Veritas, Truth, International University. And you are in the business of simply sharing the truth of God's word. And apologetics and investigating. We're going to talk in the second half of our half an hour together today about Tal al-Hammam and an approach that you took there in publishing the paper, using largely non-religious people to write that paper. There were very, you know, highly regarded scientists. So that's fascinating as well. Dr. Nixon, we've talked to you about a whole bunch of stuff, and I gave the litany of all the things that you enjoy doing. We're going to have a chance to visit in a few weeks about some music that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You are all about education.
Mm-hmm.
You started a elementary school at Calvary Church in like 60 days, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
you oversee what's going on in education. You do all the publishing, mm-hmm. Writing books and all these different things, but you also serve as supervising all the academics at Veritas. Tell me what that job is.
Yeah,
about.
That's a new appointment. I was on the board of Veritas International University for several years. Joe and I and the team worked together helping shape and form and direct. Well, when Frank Correa, the former chief academic officer, retired, and the decision was made by the board and Joe to move the campus to Albuquerque, Joe said, hey, Brian, pray about considering stepping off the board. And I don't know if that was good or bad, but yeah, stepping off the board and filling in Frank's shoes. And so it really was a no-brainer for me. I mean, I'm passionate about Christian education. And I want to underscore the importance of Veritas coming here and partnering with what Steve's doing, because it will be the only accredited Christian university based in Albuquerque. And that's huge. I mean, so it's on the same academic standing as UNM, as any other university. So this gives opportunity to a host of people who want to go into Christian education. So when Joe offered the position, I said, let's do this. Let's make sure we do it well and get it right. And of course, we have to get the stuff here first, the books and the furniture and everything else. But we've got some great plans. We've already started a podcast called Paratus. We've bought the podcast material. Steve Collins is going to...
How do people access the podcast?
Right now, it's just simply on YouTube. They would go to the Veritas International University YouTube page, and there's already four episodes. Steve is going to start podcasts. We have bought podcast material. They will start developing archaeology podcasts. And so we're going to start saturating the media, social media, through all these different avenues, because education has changed, hasn't it? The brick-and-mortar schools, they're still here and they're important. I mean, Steve conducts online and in-person classes here from Albuquerque, and we anticipate we will be doing that in other arenas as well. But for now, what we're trying to do is expand our reach through social media. So part of what I'm trying to do is partner with Joe, partner with Steve, partner with all the department heads, and find ways to expand the offerings through social media.
People listening right now from different walks of life. I know we have some pastors that love to listen to the station. They kind of use it as background noise maybe sometimes. But I think largely people listen to this station and the programming because they want to be involved. I think our show's particularly interesting because people will find out about nonprofit organizations. They'll find out about educational opportunities like we're talking about now. So I'm going to start with, if there is a pastor listening or maybe somebody on a church board or a school board, can they get a master's degree in one of these topics and basically not substitute the study time and everything required, but like for a pastor preparing sermons and everything every week, would this amount of study required just bury them, or could they continue in the vocation that they've chosen?
They could continue in the vocation, and it's very doable. As a matter of fact, let me tell you my own story. I already had a master's degree in Christian education. And when Joe had asked me several years to join the board, I said, Joe, I'm going to do something probably no other board member has done. I'm going to enroll in the school. And I'm going to go through an entire program because I want to make sure that this school is offering excellent education. I want to figure out how easy it is. And I really want to know. So I just don't want to be one of those uninformed board members. I want to know when someone comes and talks to me how to do it. So I did it. I enrolled in a class, and that led to another class, and that led. And then 2.5 years later, whatever it was, I graduated with my second master's, all online, all on my own time. And I think for a pastor or any adult, it would be that you just have to discipline yourself. You have to carve out those times and stick to it. So if you're a morning person, get up an hour earlier, listen to the lectures, do the homework, engage with the discussion boards, and you know, move on from there. If you're an evening person, do it at night. But what one of the beautiful things of it coming to Albuquerque is it's not just online. For those who live here in Albuquerque, they could take Steve's class. They just don't have to listen to Steve online. They could actually show up and be part of that. A few years ago, Steve invited me to participate in one of their Tuesday night lectures, and I was blown away. I took pages of notes on this particular lecture, and now he's putting out a book on those on that. So this is amazing information that students are getting. And one of the beautiful aspects our listeners need to realize, this is cutting-edge material. What Steve is doing, what Joe is doing with his extended faculty, be it through books, these guys are working in their given fields with cutting-edge material. This isn't just, you know, 10 years ago stuff. Steve is uncovering, unearthing stuff today. Joe is working with some of the leading philosophers and theologians on topics that are pertinent to today. So Veritas is not just classical education, which it is, but it is contemporary education, and that's dealing with real life situations.
Dr. Joseph Holden, Dr. Stephen Collins, and Dr. Brian Nixon in studio with us this afternoon talking about Veritas International University. They're offering some of the cutting edge stuff we're going to talk about when we come back in our second segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Dr. Joseph Holden, Dr. Stephen Collins, and Dr. Brian Nixon in studio. We're talking about Veritas International University, actually right in progress today and for the next few weeks moving into Albuquerque, not only to expand the campus here in New Mexico, but internationally as well. Dr. Joe, how is VIU set apart from other educational options, being a fully accredited, independent, private Christian university?
Well, I'm proud to say that Veritas offers a classical education, as Brian mentioned earlier. We offer theology from a classical perspective, meaning we look at Augustine, Anselm, Aquinas, those classical thinkers that bring all this rich information from centuries of study through into it. And this is very rare in seminaries today. Most seminaries are going with the modern vernacular, whereas the classical approach gives you the worldview questions. It gives you the philosophy undergirding your theology and your Bible as well. Many of the tough answers, like the problem of evil, have been worked out for us many centuries ago. For example, Augustine spoke about evil, and he wrote about it extensively. And for the most part, it has gone underground for nearly a millennium and a half. And many of these thinkers had all kinds of wonderful things to say about things that plague us today in theological and biblical circles. So this classical approach is a timeless approval of God's traditional attributes, the full inspiration of Scripture, the full inerrancy of Scripture, and these are the very things that are under attack today. So all of our courses have this woven through their curriculum, is this classical approach, not only to know what you believe, but also why you believe it and the worldview that supports it. Very important.
Dr. Holden, I just had an idea. I hope these ideas are from the Spirit, you know, but maybe it's not. Maybe it is. We'll see. We'll offer it and see if it is. But as you're talking about evil, I have an organization, a lady named Valerie Jameson. She has an organization called Stand True for Blue. And what she does is she encourages law enforcement officers and first responders by just doing nice things for them. That's what she does.
Wonderful.
I mean, her whole ministry is about, you know, sharing the gospel, being available to help. If there's a tragic event, like somebody's killed, they take care of the families. I mean, it's an amazing nonprofit. But one of the things that she shared with me before is that people, when they look at a law enforcement officer, they have no idea what they're dealing with every day on the street, primarily because they don't understand evil. And she said that a lot of officers come in and get discouraged pretty rapidly. Would a police officer listening now benefit from taking a class, even if they're not in a degree program, to learn about evil and what the church has taught about it for a long time?
I think so. I mean, especially these first responders who have to deal with it every day, as you mentioned, Jim. You have officers that have to deal with things that most of us don't have to witness or don't have to see or experience. If this officer knew more about what evil is of its very nature, more of a lack and a privation in what is good, they would know that the eternal solution to that problem is a spiritual solution. It's not more programs. It's not more money thrown at the program. It's not all these other three steps here and four steps over there, and then you got to pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time and so forth, that this is something that can be solved. And obviously, evil will not be completely eradicated till the Lord returns, of course, but it can be managed and understood better and with a proper solution, because you can't prescribe a cure unless you know what the problem is. Every doctor who knows how to cure cancer has to first know about what cancer is and its nature and its makeup and what it can do. And then they can prescribe that cure to it. I think the officers and the first responders can do the same thing. The more they learn what the Bible has to say about it and what common sense and what the Christian worldview has to bring to bear to this, they will be so much more equipped to deal with it on the street.
This analogy may fall short as well, but you're a pretty young guy. You and Brian are the youngest guys in the room.
Be careful.
Hey, but the reason I bring that up is because you have a professor, Dr. Stephen Collins. We talked about cutting edge in the first segment, but you're talking about a man that has started an archaeological dig at Tal el-Hammam, which he believed at the time was the ancient city of Sodom. And there have been amazing discoveries in the very, slow process of excavation, very careful, documenting everything, all the dirt that's moved, where things are positionally, everything that you have to do as an archaeologist. Some amazing discoveries have been made now in 16 years. Do you, maybe as a parent, as the president, think, wow, these are my guys doing this kind of stuff? Is it a good feeling for you?
Oh, I am so proud of our archaeology program and Dr. Collins in particular. Him and his staff have just been amazing. You know, you've heard it said that you can either read about history or you can make history. You can unearth history. And that's what Dr. Collins and the Veritas program is doing right now. It's making history. And I must add that Dr. Collins did this while going against the grain and against advice from many people. He's shown through evidence and objectivity and through excavation of the city of Sodom, Tal el Hammam, year after year, and has come out standing on his feet with the evidence to prove what he said was true. And how did he do this? He looked at the geography. He looked at the Bible, what it had to say. He looked at the maps. He looked at the historical evidence. And then he put it into practice. Lo and behold, what do you know? He comes up and he just gives the world this new map with Sodom at the northeastern end of the Dead Sea.
And because Joe and Steve are not going to toot their own horn, let me underscore the contemporary and cutting-edge nature. Obviously, the dig has been featured on National Geographic and many other things, but they also have award-winning books. You know, their Bible handbook for lands was an award-winning. Their science apologetic books, award-winning. And so, again, this isn't just classical. It's contemporary and cutting edge. That's what makes Veritas unique. So silver medal winning books and top science faith book for the books you guys contributed to. So this is cutting edge, real world stuff that they're involved with.
Yeah. And this is stuff pastors ought to have, yeah. Right?
You know what's exciting about that? Hmm. Our students just start studying about biblical archaeology or about archaeology. They're doing it. On the excavation this year, we had over 30 graduates and students on site doing the supervising, doing the archaeology. It's amazing to watch. I mean, they're out there actually doing what other people are going to read about. As yes. People read about archaeology in the Bible, they're going to be reading about what our students and our professors and our graduates are doing. They're making the discoveries. To me, that's super exciting. And by the way, you mentioned pastors. A good slice of our MA and PhD students in archaeology are pastors.
Well, and I tell me how apologetics, just as a field, has enhanced biblical teaching. I mean, because you are now trying to equip pastors with the information. People may not know this. I always find this fascinating that it's hard to ask the general public, have you ever heard of this? But scientific journals and stuff are really coming out with it. So the September edition of Scientific Reports, an article appeared called A Tunguska-Sized Airburst Destroyed Tal el Hammam, a Middle Bronze Age City in the Jordan Valley near the Dead Sea. The paper became very popular, so much so that it was at the top. It was the top article for online attention among papers published at the same time. That's according to Retraction Watch, a website and publication that reports on retractions of scientific papers. Now, here's the fun part. The attacks started, and I've had Dr. Collins on talking about the various attacks, but I'm just going to say it, I'm sorry, this may not sound kind. I'm not directing this at any one person, but a lot of the criticism was just stupid. It was saying, oh, well, that Dr. Collins, he's a Christian. This can't be right. I mean, that's the kind of thing that they would take the opportunity to say. Yeah. And that's why I so much admire that you've stood on the science, stood on the academic integrity that it requires to do this the right way. And by the way, that article is available for people to look at, too, if you Google Tunguska-sized airburst destroyed Tal el Hammam. It'll take you to a link there. And you've chosen an interesting way to publicize. Or the research was not done by largely Christians. It was the data was analyzed by mostly non-religious people.
Yeah, there were 21 scientists on that paper.
Yeah,
and I would say a handful of them, a couple of them I know have Christian faith. Maybe two or three others are at least Christian in name. Mm-hmm. But
you had Muslims?
Well, I don't know about any Muslims, but I know there was a Hindu or two on
there. Okay, there you go.
And so, and some just non-Christians, just people who are interested. They just, in fact, the lead astrophysicist on the paper just said, you know, I'm not a Bible guy. You know, I have no dog in that fight. And he just was in it for the science. And that strengthens the paper. And it is, you know, it's pushing toward 1 million downloads. It's the most accessed scientific paper in the history of open access papers online. I mean, it's like nothing else even comes close to this. More people have looked at this scientific paper than any other scientific paper that's been published in the last 20 years.
And let me, again, I just want to underscore for our listeners. Yeah. I mean, this is cutting edge material that Veritas is doing. And let me just also toot Joe and Steve's horn. You had mentioned apologetics. They also both have apologetic books. Mm. Steve's book is called The Defendable Faith, and Joe's is called Living Loud, and then he has a handbook on apologetics as well. So they are producing contemporary material that's addressing the questions for today.
And the questions of today, people, I think particularly young people, Joe, I'm going to direct this to you. I'm going to phrase this in two segments. First of all, young people think that this ancient book we call the Bible, parts of it are more ancient than others. They think it's not for today because it was written so long ago, but they also are affected by that perspective in not seeing themselves as someone God could use in a magnificent way. Would you say those go together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can think back to the biblical figures in Scripture that many of us are familiar with. You know, I wonder what David thought, being the last born in his family, the ruddy kid out in the backyard, out in the back 40, tending to the sheep while the brothers were, you know, eating cheese maybe in the house or something like that. I mean, you had all kinds of unlikely heroes surfacing, or Gideon, Lord, why do you want me to come and deliver my people from the Midianites and the Amalekites and the kings of the East? You know, you got the wrong guy. Well, no, God chose the right person. I think that the youth today are searching for an identity, and God can use them in very profound ways. And he's looking for a heart that's dedicated to him, that's open to him, a mind that can be molded toward him with their love for the Lord. He can use them to make a huge difference in culture.
Unfortunately, we are close to being out of time, so I want to remind everybody that the Veritas International University Symposium on Archaeology and the Bible is coming up on September 23rd at the Albuquerque Sheraton Hotel. You can go to isabq.org to find out all the details there and to register. You are taking a few late registrations, but not too late. You got to get those registrations in.
Yeah, but you can still get in. You got plenty of time. Come on out. 3 days of terrific, terrific information.
Yeah, and Joe, to find out more about Veritas International University, you can go to ves.edu, correct? What will people find on the website when they go?
They'll find all of our degree programs, our faculty, our course offerings, the semester schedule, upcoming events such as the Archaeology Symposium, and so forth. So it's like a one-stop shop. Yeah.
Well, I'm so blessed that you all were able to come in today, and I know we're going to have you back on the air frequently and talking about some more of these cutting edge things that you have going on. And I hope our listeners are, you know, if you're 65 like me or older, there's a place for you. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for you to take courses. If you are a young person coming out of high school, maybe you consider Veritas and getting an undergraduate degree in that way, especially if you have some aspirations of being involved in ministry. Brian, is that what you did when you were younger?
Yeah, I've went to several seminaries. Yeah. I think four. So yeah, it's one of those situations where if you're interested in ministry, you want to go to a Christian university.
I love it. Dr. Brian, Dr. Steve, Dr. Joe, thank you all for being with us today on ABQ Connect.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.